Hello. Can you hear me now? I can't hear myself. There we go. Hi guys, how you doing? It's me, Harley D. Sorry, I was having difficulties with the mic. How y'all doing today? This is Afternoons with Harley D, and I am your host, Harley D. And this is my last show. Yay! So sad. I am here with DJ Raya, and I am also here with Matt from the 2 AM Club. It's a local band here in town. And
hello.
Say hello. Yes. Welcome. And DJ Raya, hello. How you doing?
Good. Good to be here. I think we're doubling up on our shows, so
yeah.
It's nice to have some company today.
I love it because I'm happy to talk to somebody. Sometimes it sucks. Now I have two people. super cool. I am cool. So let's see. I'm going to throw out the normal format that I usually do, and we are going to do. We're going to talk about just a couple things today. We're going to talk about, I came across an article on Facebook about being poor. This girl, she wrote an article, some would say about complaining about being poor, but I thought of it more as an explanation of why, of how hard it is to be poor and what you have to go through every day to even make your rent and be able to put food on the table. And so I wanted to talk to you guys about that a little bit. I mean, we live in Marin, but this is a pretty nice area. You know, there's homeless.
I think we're very exposed to it as opposed to some people where that's the normal. Like, I know I'm definitely not from here, and it was a huge culture shock when I came here four years ago.
Yeah. The amount of money, you mean?
A little bit. The amount of money and, like, I don't know if you guys have ever been to the canal, but it's literally like you cross the street and it's a whole different world.
Yeah.
And it's just that separation, you know, that not a lot of people are aware of.
Yeah, I'd see it too. I'm from a smaller area, but there's a lot more homeless, and I've never seen a separation between people that there is here in Marin. Like, it's like people in the canal and then everyone else, kind of how I see it. Yeah. I don't know.
And you grew up around here. So.
Yeah. I mean, growing up, there's definitely kind of like, you know, I think you're not really aware of the bubble that exists. And then, you know, but everybody, they have their moment when they leave. And I think, you know, kind of realize that, you know, there's a lot more at hand, you know, than you kind of realize when you are a little kid. So, I guess you kind of find your way. But I mean, it's a great place to grow up. And I think it's a great place to sort of, you know, find yourself in that way, but you know, getting out, it is definitely a culture shock, like you say, kind of like a reverse culture shock, you know.
Of course. Yeah,
seeing how crazy things can be, but you know, it's,
and that's a part of growing up too. Like, it's always good that you leave home, you leave the nest,
yeah,
and you can see other things, because if you're stuck in the same place, you know, what fun is that?
Yeah. And I, you know what, actually we should get into, since Matt has actually probably seen more places than a lot.
Definitely.
Me. He, I wanted to talk a little bit about your band and
yes.
You and everything about what you're involved in.
Yeah. Okay. So my band, it's called 2 AM Club, named after the local bar in town, in Mill Valley. And we have, I guess we sort of started here in a weird way. Myself and the lead singer went to Mill Valley Middle School together. So that was that's where we met, and we were in a band in high school. After high school, we moved to LA, and that's pretty much where we met the rest of the band.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like a Marin-centric group by any means.
Mm-hmm.
Two guys are from Seattle, one guy is from Washington D.C., and our current drummer is from Bakersfield, just outside of LA. So the band kind of formed and then really, you know, began its like creative roots in Los Angeles, and New York City is where we wrote and recorded the first album. So we've kind of jumped around a little bit, but I mean, I guess the name of the band 2 AM Club kind of always centers us around, you know,
yeah.
Definitely
part
have
of town,
your roots
so.
In the Bay Area.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, and it's great being back around for the holidays and seeing everybody and, you know, kind of getting back in touch. So
when you guys first started, what was kind of your route? What was your like game plan? Were you just attacking the West Coast or anywhere you could play?
Yeah, honestly, that was kind of like, there was sort of no game plan. I mean, I think we just kind of decided to do it and, you know, just kind of like...
The best way, right?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's... It's hard because, you know, on some level, you just kind of have to commit to, you know, to music, or, you know, it's the same with any sort of job in entertainment. You just kind of commit to it and then follow whatever doors, you know, open up. So that's kind of been our game plan, I guess, forever. But yeah, I mean, it was always, you know, we knew that we wanted to you know, shoot for a major label and you know, shoot for radio and you know, do it as big as we possibly could. So.
Mm-hmm. And what label are you guys on?
We're with RCA, a Sony label. And we've been with them for I guess about 5 years now, which is kind of crazy to think. But yeah.
So
yeah.
Out of the 4-5 years, what, this is your first studio album?
This one is going to be our second album. The first album came out in 2010, and we had two singles off that. The main song was the song called Worry About You.
I know that song.
Yeah, so that's, yeah, that was sort of like, that was our first album. And then we've spent the last 2 years kind of crafting the second album. And we also released a mixtape called Moon Tower, which is sort of like another set of songs that were, you know, kind of like aside from the album that is out now. Also, you can check it out on our SoundCloud, 2AM Club. SoundCloud.com/2AM Club.
Nice,
so,
nice.
Yeah. So yeah, this is the second album, and we are in the process of releasing a single, a song called Evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully it'll be popping up on a station around here.
Nice.
One of these days, so.
What's the process with that? Do you just kind of like send it out, just like mass spray all the affiliates?
Yeah,
or?
See, that's the thing is that it's you know, it's way more in depth than I really realized at first. You know, there's like so many, it's very political, the radio game. And so basically we have like an entire radio team that's dedicated to, you know, getting this single played on stations. And so actually I just got back from a tour of the South where, you know, and I guess kind of the day-to-day of the record promotion is like you show up at a station, you meet the program director, you meet, you know, whatever on-air DJ is on at the time, do a little interview, we play our song acoustic, and then, you know, just kind of like make friends with whoever we can and then go on to the next station and kind of like do that on repeat for, you know, a while. So that's, for us, that's kind of like our side of things, to just meet everybody that we possibly can, play the song for everybody that we possibly can. And then, you know, the radio team plays their game where they, you know, talk to, you know, really, really try to get the program directors to engage and, you know, hopefully like the song and like where we're coming from and all that. So it's interesting. But everybody that we've been meeting is super cool. All the stations have been awesome. You know, all the personalities and everybody has been like really, really great. So, you know. So we'll see.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I hope so. That's a job, right? To be nice and be awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not divas.
Yeah. No, like divas, you guys. Yeah. You guys are right, you know, right on the ballpark.
Yeah. Do you feel like, is the internet game and the radio, like, which one has more power? I mean, if you're throwing your stuff on YouTube, doesn't that spread a little bit faster nowadays?
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. And I was actually just thinking about this. Like how, I guess in some ways radio has more power just because of its reach, but like online, I guess, is in a weird way where everybody goes to find new music. I feel like nobody really listens to the radio to find new music anymore. Like they're just kind of like, you know, because everybody sort of knows the cast of characters that's gonna be on like a pop station or a rock station or whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I think what's happening online is really cool because it kind of levels the playing field and it makes, you know, everybody, it's, you know, all you have to do is put a song up on SoundCloud and then all of a sudden, like, anybody can listen to it, which is cool. So I guess in that sense, it becomes more about, you know, your ability to market yourself and your ability to, like, get your song on, you know, the biggest blogs or, like, you know, whatever, the biggest sites, you know, how, try to, like, get your reach, you know, in a big way to be working in your favor. So it's kind of like, I guess the internet game is different and I feel like people are still kind of figuring out how to like play it right. But you know, that's something that we're sort of in the thick of too.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I mean, I feel like end of the day, radio is still kind of like, that's where the superstars are gonna, you know, come from and that's where they're made.
Yeah.
Nice.
And
yeah, because I think you could reach a lot more. I mean, you're listening, you have moms in the car that are driving their kids that are listening. You have people that are commuting. You have everybody that you could possibly reach is probably
Yeah. 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 And you know, and I feel like in cities, and I feel like especially on like the coasts, people tend to be a little bit more in touch with like the online stuff, and they're, you know, a little bit more in touch with culture, but like or with, you know, kind of like blossoming culture, I guess. But like when you move into the middle of the country, like I feel like people aren't really worried as much about like, you know, finding like the newest, coolest thing. Yeah. Like, you know, radio is still a huge part of I feel like the majority of the country's listening experience, whatever. So
that is so true. That's a good point. How do your shows differ from like the coast and then when you're like in the middle of, I don't know, Kansas?
I mean, I don't know, because honestly, I guess the last time we did like the full country tour was about a year and a half ago, and it was I mean, I guess from an on-stage perspective, it's not all that much different because you're just, you know, you're playing to the kids and they're enjoying it. But I think it's more like when they come up and talk to you after the show, it's like the way that they discovered your music differs. Like a lot of kids, you know, on the coast, they'll be like, oh yeah, I was like listening to your SoundCloud. I saw like on this blog, like your Moontower mixtape was out, and I like found some tracks that were really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I feel like, you know, and maybe it's an age demographic thing too, but like there's also the sect of people that are like, we saw you on Pretty Little Liars. We were on that show.
Right.
Like a couple seasons ago. And so there was like, there's definitely like a big group of people that were like, that's how we discovered your music. You know, listen, Pretty Little Liars.
That's so crazy.
Versus like, you know, I found your mixtape, like your super, like, you know, lesser known stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it kind of, I guess. So to answer your question, I'd say that, you know, depending on the region, it's just the way that people go about finding our music differs.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. And can you describe your music for us?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I think it's pop music, you know. Definitely like hip hop influence. I mean, we'll hopefully be able to listen to a track.
Yes, maybe. We're gonna. Yeah.
Yes. So
there's, got a couple.
Yes, maybe. Yeah, a couple. Great. There's, you know, we have a singer, we have a rapper, and then full live band. So, you know, I'd say primarily pop, hip hop influence, some rock influence. You know, we try to tie in a couple different things. But
that's cool.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well, let's get back to what we were talking about, because I forgot. I kind of did that out of order, but, you know, it is what it is. We're going to roll with it. So getting back to the poverty thing. So I'm going to read a quote of what this girl said. It sounds to me like she's a 30-something woman who has a husband and kids and works two jobs and goes to school. And this is like the first paragraph she says. It says, rest is a luxury for the rich. I get up at 6 a.m., go to school. I have a full course load, but I only have to go to two in-person classes. Then work, then I get the kids, then I pick up my husband. Then I have a half hour to change to go to the job too. I get home around 12:30 a.m., then I have the rest of my classes to work and work to tend to. I'm in bed by 3. This isn't every day. I have 2 days off a week from each day of my obligations, or each of my obligations. And I use that time to clean the house and soothe her husband, is what she says, and see the kids for longer than an hour and catch up on schoolwork. So she's basically spending her life scheduled, and everything. She has to do something for everybody. She has to be somewhere for everybody at all times. And she talks about how she just is like a bearing on her soul, basically. How she has no hope for life, basically, because her whole up the next month and the next month and the next month are all scheduled out, because she has to pay the bills and she has nothing else she can do. So the mental toll it takes on somebody is just really crazy to see, because you think of somebody just in poverty and you think of them just, they can't afford something, but it's a lot worse than that. And I don't know, I just want to get your thoughts on that, guys.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's hard for me to like speak on it, because obviously it's I haven't experienced anything on, you know, on that level. But I feel like at the end of the day, it's just like yet another obstacle to just kind of like happiness. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, you know, it's just it increases the burden that you bear on a daily basis. So that's very, very difficult, you know. Very difficult thing to deal with. But at the same time, I mean, you know, and I think especially growing up in the Marin bubble, I think, you know, dealing with something along those lines hopefully does strengthen you in the long run. And, you know, in a way that the Marin bubble would not. So, you know.
Well, I think I could totally relate to this woman, because I'm from that kind of work ethic family where it's like you you get up, you go to work, you do all the things you need to do, because in the end it's going to be worth it. Right. But we don't realize that, like, the end is really far away and you have to, like, make it happen right now. I mean, right, like, for instance, like, I'm in school for 4 days or 3 days a week, and then I'm working 4 days a week, so I don't even have this 2 days off that she's talking about. And I think exactly what you're talking about, that that happiness piece. Like, we're working so hard to get there, but we forget, like, we should be living it. We should be living in it right now. And, but it's not fair, because some people, like this woman with her family, like, she can't afford to do that because she has kids that rely on her.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's, I think it's also a huge societal problem, because the fact that you have to go to school and you have to work two jobs to support your schooling just so you could get another job that's not even going to pay you right off the bat. Like, that's just, it's not fair and it doesn't match up.
Yeah.
I think she's laying out the serious problems that are going on in the country, because if you go to Europe, if you go to Russia, there's schooling is free.
Right.
And I mean, obviously they pay a ton in taxes, but it's like, where does that even out, and where, which is the right formula that's right for the people, you know?
Yeah. I'd rather pay a ton in taxes than have to pay the 40 grand a year that it takes to go here.
Yeah. Versus the one-time payment, like, span it out.
Across. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, it's like, well, then they are all on this level playing field. In America, we're like super capitalism. Like, you know, you can do anything you want. And because you're given something in another country, it's like, okay, well, you're steered a certain way.
Right.
So it's like, there's no balance and it's not fair, you know?
And then being, when you're poor, I think it impacts your educational, how first of all, how you're educated and how much you actually take into that education. Because like, if you grow up in a really poor family and your parents can barely put food on the table, you're not really worried about going to school and learning. Like, you're worried about eating, and you're worried about
the necessities
to survival, and that's not what a child should have to worry about. And then once you get older, a lot of times that they have studies that show that being kids in poverty, like, are more likely to drop out of school, they're more likely to get involved in drugs, get arrested, and it's just, it's not the most, I don't know what I'm trying to say, actually.
I feel you, though. Yeah. It's difficult. It's difficult to focus on, you know, reading a book, or like figuring out how to like do like a fraction when, you know, you literally have to worry more about like how hungry you are.
Yeah.
Or you know, totally. Like, it's hard to justify, you know, digging really deeply into you know, some sort of like abstract education when there's day-to-day that's much more pressing.
And then if you have kids, forget about it. Like, well, luckily I don't have a child, I have a dog, but you know,
it's a kid.
She's cheaper to feed, that's for sure. Yeah. It's only like $60 a month as opposed to Jesus, like
200.
Yeah.
Especially with like the prices rising all the time and the cost of living. I mean, we're in the Bay Area. We're in the, like, the top two, like, living expense. And how is somebody supposed to afford
that?
They can't. It's almost impossible.
So
I don't know. And I.
So what would be your like solution to her? I mean, you can't say, "Oh, work harder," because she's obviously working her ass off. You know.
I mean,
social services, but I mean, that's more taxes from us.
Yeah, well, she says that she's okay. So, part of the article is that she says, so she has three kids. She has two of them, two babies' daddies, and one of them
two baby daddy,
and so one is in jail, and the other one just left. So she has to take care of all three kids, and she has no, like, really no options. And or wait, no, I'm sorry, I'm getting, you know what, I'm doing a lot of homework and I'm getting stories confused. I'm
reciting some of my essay. That's
this is actually something else. This woman actually has a husband and the husband works as well. Oh, I'm so sorry, guys.
Yeah, so it's even like
that's three incomes for one household, and they still can't get
by. They still can't do it. And they still their kids are probably obviously they obviously know what is going on. They're not stupid, and that it always in it, and the kids see it, and it gives them more. I think it gives them anxiety if their parents are stressed about it, and that hurts them too. So I think that, you know, I always feel, I don't know why, it's probably just because of the holidays. Like, I always start to feel worse and worse about homeless people and people, like, the less fortunate. And I don't know. I always, like, I'm like, I just need to go grocery shopping and spend, like, $1 million and just give it all away. And it doesn't really, I don't know.
Well, at least you have, like, there's a conscious effort there.
Yeah,
you know?
I guess.
And, I mean, for some families, like, I think, like, struggle and, like, makes you better.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It definitely pushes you a little bit. And right. I mean, not to the point where you're starving and you like literally have to beg on the street for food at night.
Yeah.
That's not supposed to happen. Yeah. But I think everybody has faced their financial issues and everybody's been had their moment where like, how am I going to make this next week? Or how am I going to like go this far? And it's just part of life and our quality of life now because we have access to so many other things. So, I don't know. It's hard.
I know.
Just be the best person you could be.
That's what I would tell her. Like, hopefully someday it'll get better. Like, I had no idea what you would say to that.
What do you do when you see somebody, like, on the street? Like, would you rather give them a dollar or I would rather give them food?
I'd rather give them food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because then you know that you're actually helping.
Yeah.
You know?
But I've given food to, like, one time when I was living back home in New Mexico, there was a homeless guy that hang out in the alley behind my house. And I gave him, like, I had a bunch of food at my house, and I gave it to him, and he was like, what is this? And I was like, are you joking? You can have it if you want, but I'm just trying.
He rejected your food?
He didn't. Well, I drove off. I was like, I'm not, you can have, like, you can either have this or not, but, like, I don't know, sell it for something. I thought that was kind of crazy, actually. But I think that generally I try to give them food more or shirts or something. Or if they have dog food, like dog food.
Oh, yeah. That's the worst
when there's
a dog in the mix.
My God.
I just want to feed your dog.
I know. Like, I really, I'm sorry. Like, I just, because the dog has no choice. I mean, if the dog should be, like, it might be, well, I don't know. I feel like human companionship is good for dogs. Maybe not being in a pound would be better. I don't know. Every time you go there, it's even sad. It's so sad.
Yeah, because they don't last very long in those places.
I know. Oh, my God. I've had my dog run away twice, and both times when I came to get her, she looked like the saddest animal ever. But anyways. All right. We're going to take a break and come back, and we are going to talk about what's going on in San Jose, the students that are being indicted, I guess you'd say, for felony... felony, I don't know what the exact charges are. I have to bring up the article, but they're like, it's basically they're being called a racist, and it's going to be on their permanent record, so they're kind of screwed. But we're going to play
they're screwed.
We're going to play the song that Matt was just talking about earlier, Evidence, by the TOAM Club. So here you go. Come back and see us. This is Afternoons with Harley D, and I am Harley D, and this is radio.dominican.edu. Let's hope this works.
These fake eyelashes and all the pictures that I hung up. You can take them if you want. I know you like clearance sales. Well, this gonna be the biggest one. Don't try to plead your case now. Please just find your way out. 'Cause someone's on her way now. Out of sight. Of mine, I'm finally leaving you behind. I'm doing the one thing that makes sense and getting rid of all the evidence. A million ways to say goodbye of all the things that I could try. I'm doing the one thing that makes sense and getting rid of all the evidence. I clean the bathroom with your toothbrush. The one you won't be making use of. I even took the time to wipe down every single thing that you touched. But these sexy pictures on my cell phone, I'm gonna go ahead and keep those. In case you try to put me on, these are gonna get me off. case now. Please just find your way. This box that I just went through. Every time I see your clothes, I think of how they fit you. So I put them in with everything that's gonna remind me. The one I thought would never front, I gotta put behind me. I thumbed through all the pictures we once had. Thought you were the one, now you just one that I untag. Ever since we're not together, everything is hella clear. I'm getting rid of all the evidence that you were ever here. Out of sight, out of mind, I'm finally leaving you behind. I'm doing the one thing that makes sense and getting rid of all the evidence. A million ways to say goodbye of all the things that I could try. I'm doing the one thing that makes sense and getting rid of all the evidence. I was planning. I'm not your boyfriend, you're not my girlfriend, but maybe we could be, maybe we could be friends. I'm not your boyfriend, you're not my girlfriend, but maybe we could be friends. I'll be there for you in the bedroom, pick you up when you wanna get down. Give you what you need inside. If you need a stop, I'll pull it out. Work, girl, you got it. Church, girl, you CrossFit. Bossy, you flossy. You gossip, you faucet. So, I wanna be rolling. With no pills, we'll be up till the morning. She rip her shirt off, I call her Hogan. And when she play dumb, I call her Oakland. All down my back, feel like junior year, cause I used to be soft. She looks so guilty, she ain't used to getting off. I used to be sober, now I'm cruising, two freaks in yoga. Pants I'm moving, you keep it up now. I love you if you keep it up now. I can touch you if you like it rough now. Doesn't matter if you were a 10 or a touchdown.
All around the world, all the boys and girls.
And we're back. Hello, hello. This is Afternoons with Harley D. I am Harley D. And what song was that, Matt?
That was a song called Not Your Boyfriend.
Okay.
That you can find on iTunes, YouTube, SoundCloud. And then the song before was Evidence, which is our current single release. So you can check that out on iTunes as well, or our SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/2amclub.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Thank you.
I like it. So we're going to get into the case at San Jose that started developing last week. A student's father came forward basically saying that his son was being tormented and bullied by his flatmates. That's so British. By his suitemates. And he lived with seven other guys, and four of them are being accused of bullying and felony imprisonment.
Battery.
Somehow they're charging like racism. I don't know how they're charging that, but and basically what they did was they tormented this kid for 3 months. He was 17 at the time. They tormented him by writing like racial slurs all over their apartment and putting up the Confederate flag and Nazi symbols, and they put a lock around his neck and told him they threw away the key. So they basically tortured this kid for 3 months, and he didn't come forward. His father ended up coming forward, and now the kids are suspended from school. And now today at noon there was a rally at school at San Jose State to try to get the kids suspended, or I'm sorry, expelled, which I think they should.
Yeah.
It's deserving.
Yeah. I think that this is like, to do this to someone, it should really impact your life, because it's so heartless to think that you can do that to somebody and actually get away with it. And it sucks that he didn't come forward. I wish he would have had
earlier.
Yeah, I wish. Know? Yeah.
Yeah, 3 months. That's yeah. Crazy.
I couldn't handle that for 3 months.
Imagining that as your college experience, if you had a rough time in high school.
Oh my God.
And then you had to just go into that. God, that's horrible.
Yeah. But I mean, so the NAACP is getting involved. I think they're leading the cause to get him, to get the four students expelled. And probably if they get expelled, they're also trying to get their financial aid taken away. So they basically won't be able to go to school.
Right.
And that is the power of the government.
Yeah.
Well, at least they deserve it, and not the woman with three kids.
Yes.
And is like working six jobs. Come on. So, I mean, I think the worst part about this was, well, maybe not the worst part, but I was reading up that all of these kids are from California.
Mm-hmm.
The three kids that are being charged, they're from Bakersfield, Woodacre, and Clovis.
Mm-hmm.
And from the outside looking in, from the rest of the country, I mean, California is a blue state, but there's still like huge discrepancies, especially in those places. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, it's not the Bay Area and it's not LA.
Mm-hmm.
I hate Bakersfield and Woodacre. I mean, I hate going out there. I'm from a small town called Oakley. Uh-huh. And I could totally see that happening where I'm from, and it's just sad that it's still going on.
Yeah, I remember being like, not bullied, but like enough, you know, in middle school, boys are mean to you and all that. Mm-hmm. People are always mean to you. And like, it was, even that was like hard for me, but like, I was never, nothing like this. I'm almost half Mexican. And so I grew up around Mexicans, but I never really, we never really saw any sort of like full on racism in my, I don't know. It's just a crazy,
it's tough. Yeah. It's really, it puts you in a weird situation. I mean, like, I'm brown, so I'm lucky. I'm not like, I kind of got the best of both worlds, where like I grew up with enough diversity, and then I moved out to a place that really didn't have any. And it's really weird. Like, I've experienced like talking on the phone to somebody, either for like a job interview or even like with people my own age, where they don't like see who I am at first, and then when I meet them, it's like they're taken back because of the way I talk, or because of like what I look like, and it's really, really off-putting.
Uh-huh. I understand what you're saying.
And I mean, I just, for this kid, I feel for him. My heart goes out. And but the fact that the school is kind of standing up and saying that's not okay.
Yeah, I mean, the school president came out and said he was disgusted by what happened. I think
I'm surprised by the roommate, like the people outside of the halls.
Well, yeah, and I feel like that's sort of hopefully the lesson, and hopefully like the takeaway is that it's just like speak up, you know?
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's kind of where bullies kind of do their thing, is they like to take away, you know, the power that this kid has, and obviously, you know, they felt as if, you know, they were really, really, you know, kind of taking away what this kid was all about, and he should have, you know, immediately spoken up. And
yeah,
hopefully that will be the takeaway, you know, at the end of the day. Like, just if you're in a situation like that or anything, you know, immediately get out.
Yeah, like you need to stand up for yourself. You can't let people push you around like that. And I think I was listening to the radio this morning about this, and they were talking about how at San Jose they're gonna, next semester they're gonna have lectures about racial equality, and they're going to try to be really proactive. And, you know, the incoming freshmen for next year, 2014, not only are they going to be educated about drugs and alcohol, which they're always educated about, they're going to try to get people to be more open to other races, which is insane this day and age that you have to.
Why is that even a
topic that needs to be discussed at all? Especially when at San Jose, probably most of the population isn't even white.
Yeah, I think I saw there. It was said like 25% white.
Yeah,
or something like that.
So 75%
is other. Is anything other than white? So it's just like, how can you be racist at a school like that? Especially just in California.
Do you guys think that would work though? Like, I mean,
what?
Like, if kids, like, I mean, I never paid attention to my orientation. Like, how is that really going to help? Like, they're going to spend money into this, like,
true,
type of advertising. Right. But, like, what is really going to institute that change in case, like it has to be, like, something within that person.
Yeah.
And just, like.
Yeah. No, I think that's
assemblies.
Very true. Which is why I feel like the fact that, you know, like expulsion wasn't the first thing on the table is a little bit off-putting. Because that, I feel like the school should have been, like, you know, to at least, you know, set an example, say, you know, this is so, you know, this is totally unacceptable, obviously, and immediately you're kicked out of school.
Yeah, you should
like,
be.
Like, I feel like, you know, they should have at least enforced a punishment that was like, you know.
What did happen? What
they're,
did
well, so they're, so far they're being, they're just, they're, their charges have been pressed. They're being charged with misdemeanor hate crime and battery. They're just suspended from the university, and
suspended.
Yeah, so, that's what they're going to say right now. I mean, probably over the holidays, they're probably just went back home to their family, like that's for the holidays. And they're probably, I mean, they're just probably going to wait to hear back. And I mean, they'll probably flunk out of the semester. I guarantee that they're not going to let them back on campus before the end of the semester.
If anything, like the students around them are just going to just like
terrorize. So they're going to be bullied and terrorized now.
Kind of like how George Zimmerman can't like step out anywhere after his whole thing.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's great how, you know, the students, didn't they hold a rally today or something like that where they, you know, where they stood up and said, obviously these aren't, you know, actions that we support as a student body, which I think is really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And they, I guess, I've never been to San Jose, but they have a statue of the people who in like the 1980s in the Olympics where the guys held the Black Power sign.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't think so.
They were athletes in protest and they held up the Black Power like symbol.
And so there's
statue of that, and that's where they had the gathering. So I thought that was kind of, I can't, like, especially with a campus with that statue on their campus, like, what do you, like, I don't know.
But the fact that there was four other people then, they still didn't say anything.
Yeah, I know. I would, like, be so sad.
Yeah.
That, I would be I would feel so alone.
It drives me crazy.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm glad that I've never lived in a dorm. Did you?
Yeah. I went to college for 1 year. I was only in the dorms for 1 week. but it was different. It was for different reasons. I wasn't hazed.
Yeah.
Or tortured. There was a lot of computer gaming going on, and that's not really my thing. But No hate on computer gaming. It's amazing stuff, but it was a different, you know.
It's hard to be around it when you're not into
it. Yeah,
you're
yeah.
I don't have anything to do. Like, you guys are all
just watch.
Yeah, so I'm going to watch you guys play these games.
Yeah.
Have you been in
in here in Dominican.
Yeah.
I was here for 2 years.
Wow.
And I mean, the first year, everybody's on the same floor and everybody is like crazy running up and down the halls, and like you get all of these stories because you're living right on top of each other, so it's fun. Like, it's an experience you can't get anywhere else, basically. because you're still like, even though you're on your own, you're still under the watch of like your RAs and stuff.
Right.
So it's more fun to do the things you're not supposed to. Kind of thing. And then like my sophomore year, I was like, okay, I just got to get the hell out of here because it was just, it was too much. You saw like, now it wasn't fun anymore.
Right.
Because now you could do it. And it's just, now I live with four roommates and we have a house up the street and it's just the best.
Yeah.
So great. I have my own room. Kitchen.
I have my own room.
Yeah. And that, like, you take that stuff for granted.
Yeah,
you know?
I totally understand.
And
yeah.
it's nice now, but definitely dorm experience is something that like everybody should be able to go through because it is a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to community college first and I kind of wish that I got to experience it because like my friends that did get to experience, other than the fact that they got in trouble for like drinking, which they shouldn't have. This was at other colleges, and smoking weed, which they shouldn't have. But they loved it, and they met a lot of people and they made a lot of friends, and I thought that was like super cool. But what you brought up was the RAs, that the RAs were, they should have been involved in this case.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah, like, it's so strange how, you know, it seems as if these guys were able to get away with it in secret, but there's no way that you can really.
Yeah,
you
know,
but there's like, 8 people living in one space.
Yeah. Oh right.
Like that, like I live in an 1,100 square foot apartment with my boyfriend, and I still know what's going on every minute of every minute of that apartment. Like, I, I just think that you would
don't
know.
Want to.
Yes.
What if they lock the kid up with a, what do they say, with a bicycle?
Yeah, like, with the U-lock.
That's like, what?
That's like what? And you come home to that, and the kid's just in a U-lock, probably like a with like a anxiety on his face. I wouldn't doubt it. Like, I wouldn't sit there. Maybe he was sitting there laughing. I don't know. I wasn't there. I can't really make any judgments. But I mean, you would come home and you would think that someone would say something.
Yeah.
But and I mean, it doesn't say if these were all guys living in the same apartment, and I think that might make a difference too, because guys sometimes tend to be more go with the flow. Then maybe women are. I don't know.
Yeah, like as if the kid was under the impression that it was part of like a hazing process.
Yeah, or like they were just trying to like make him part of like the group. I don't know, because like
no, that's BS.
I mean, I don't know, but
that's my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, but yeah, it's just once again, like, you know, it's you know, just so important to speak up and just not let anybody put you in a place like that ever.
Yeah. And with the like with the bullying thing for the NFL, the guy Jonathan Martin, he like that same thing going on. He was, he's accusing people of bullying him, and in an atmosphere that it was accepted, and it was, from what it seems like, that it was somewhat encouraged to harden him because he was too soft.
Too soft.
If he's too soft, then he shouldn't be playing football. I don't know. That's my opinion about it, but. anyways, all right, so we're going to get into another thing, about I was like, what, who's knocking on the door? The sriracha, shortage.
What? I know!
Do you like sriracha, Mariah?
I've just recently, hate is a strong word.
Thank you. Moral of the story.
I'm recently like liking spicy stuff. Like my nose sweats whenever I eat it.
I love that.
You like that?
Love that. Love that. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Actually looking up a thing because you mentioned the sriracha thing, and that there's actually an addiction that's associated with spicy foods. Because I guess it has to do with the endorphin rushes.
Yeah, because it's painful.
Yeah, right. It's painful. Yeah. And so then obviously like your brain compensates.
Yeah.
And I guess that probably has a little bit to do with the sriracha curry. I mean, it's delicious anyway.
You like it?
Is it that spicy? I haven't tried it yet.
It's pretty spicy.
It's pretty spicy. Yeah.
Well, I guess it depends like on your true. Level of tolerance.
True.
I'm slowly getting into Tapatio. I'll do some Tabasco sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah. If you can handle Tabasco, I think you can handle sriracha.
Really?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But so what happened was that it's in Southern California, the factory, and it's run by Hui Fong Foods.
Yes.
I hope I said that right. Hui? Is that H-U-Y?
Hui.
Basically the neighbors around the factory are complaining because, you know, the sauce is spicy and the flavors are coming through the factory and they're burning people's noses and people's nostrils and
it stinks.
Yeah, and like people are starting to complain about it. And so the like latest news about it is that there's a shortage happening because people are so pissed about this, and people call sriracha like the hipster ketchup. That's like it's a very like trendy thing, I think. And
it is. My roommates have like 6 bottles. Yeah, and it's like spilling all over the place, and it's really annoying.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
It's good on everything though. It's like good on eggs. Like I put it on my eggs every morning. Oh my god, I actually kind of want some now. See, now I'm like thinking about it. But I just love chili or anything. I'm just like.
I like chili pepper flakes on pizza.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sparingly, though. Because like, when you get too much, then it hurts. Can't taste the pizza and it hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that's really sad to hear. Because what they were talking about, like, they might shut down the factory.
They're trying to shut down the factory.
They're going to shut it down.
They're trying to shut it down.
Have you guys ever lived next to a factory?
No.
No.
I used to live next to the Dreyer's ice cream factory.
No way.
And like one of my like most favorite childhood memories was like playing on the playground, like out like at an after school thing, like because I had to stay after, and I would just like straight up because this is around like Titanic era, right? I would just like hang out at the point and just embrace the sweet smell of chocolate and vanilla in the air.
That's awesome.
It was the most like liberating feeling, and then everybody like walking by was probably like, who is this crazy kid, like what is it,
like doing the
spread
the,
yeah. Just like embracing the ambiance, you know.
Yeah.
it was really lame.
Actually, you know what, in New Mexico there's a General Mills factory, and every time you drive by it smells like Lucky Charms. That was cool. That was awesome.
But yeah, it's like, you know, we should just tell or like set a petition for the people living in the town, like embrace the ambiance,
right?
For all of us to be able to benefit.
Like burning your nose hairs.
True.
That's a different story.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah.
Like they're complaining that their lips are starting to burn, and that they're just their mucus, like their eyes, their nose, and their mouth are their mucous membranes. Scientific fact of the day.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it.
I could see it. I don't know. But I don't know. I guess so it says grocery stores, countless restaurants are concerned of serious shortage of the increasingly ubiquitous condiment brand. That is a mouthful. The residents living near the factory which has opened last year in Irwindale. So it's only been open for a year. So that's going to suck. That could like put the company into bankruptcy if they...
Yeah, because they're still paying off.
Yeah, they're still probably don't even own their building. And right. They're... I hope this doesn't happen.
Like, I need my sriracha.
I really, like, need it, like, every day.
Although, I did see somewhere that there are some really good and easy make-your-own sriracha recipes.
I think, from what
I heard, is that it's pretty simple. Like, I mean, you know, when
Let's
you
see.
Have... Like yeah,
Let's
it's
find
like,
one.
I think it's just red pepper, vinegar, and salt, or something like that.
That would not surprise me.
But homemade sriracha sauce. Let's
oh yeah,
see.
There you go.
Nom nom paleo.
Nom nom.
.com if anybody's wondering. Paleo people, oh my goodness. I tried this for a day.
Oh my god, I did it for a while, but like I couldn't not eat ketchup, and bread, like bread's just too much. Do you know what the paleo diet is?
I heard of it, but what is it?
What I remember about it, it was a couple years ago. You basically eat meat. You basically eat what the paleo era people ate.
Yeah, so it's you eat the caveman diet. So no serious? Like processed foods, yeah. No bread, no pasta.
You can only eat vegetables that grow in the ground or above ground.
Isn't that everything?
I don't know.
In the ground. I think it's above ground.
No, because like... carrots grow below ground. I remember.
I think it's above ground.
Yeah,
because they didn't know it yet.
Yeah,
or something.
So that's so you can't have carrots.
Yeah,
you can't have. You want to stay away from
it's
potatoes.
It's like silly. Yeah, potatoes are a huge.
And like
one.
Oatmeal. Oatmeal is no.
Wow.
And I love oatmeal. I eat oatmeal every day.
Yeah.
Every
that's day. What I'm saying. So that's why I couldn't do it.
I just couldn't do it.
I made these really
burgers.
Good avocado deviled eggs, though. That was good.
Ooh.
And that goes along with
the paleo diet?
That goes along. That's all fine right. Because it's like, oh, but you know what? But well, you can still cook stuff because I boiled the eggs.
Okay.
So, yeah. But it's like, it's weird because it's a good idea, though. Like, because if you think about it, like, your body's going to be in the best shape if you
right.
give it natural
well,
things.
Well, yeah.
So.
And I feel like a lot of it is just, like, avoiding preservatives in, like, a
true.
Huge
I think that's the only, I think that's, like, the only thing you really have to do. Like, just try not to eat too much, like, fake food.
Yeah.
I mean.
I found the recipe,
what
by
is
the
it?
Way,
what
if
is it?
Anybody's in need. So, it is 1.5 pounds of fresh red jalapeno peppers, stemmed, seeded, and roughly chopped.
Ooh, that would suck.
Eight garlic cloves, a cup of apple cider vinegar. Interesting. That's what you're talking about, the vinegar part.
Yes, yes. Tomato
paste, honey, fish sauce.
Fish sauce?
Yes, paleo-friendly fish sauce. And kosher salt.
Okay.
I'm on a paleo site, but so I think that's how we got there.
That's why we got to start talking about paleo diet.
Hey, but yeah.
But you have to cook it. You blend it and then you cook it.
Huh. I don't know. I like Cholula too. That one with the wooden top.
Oh, the wooden top?
Yeah.
Oh, I've had that on my tacos.
That's boom. Boom, boom, boom. I don't know. Speaking of food, I'm excited for Thanksgiving.
There's actually a Thanksgiving dinner tonight at Dominican.
Oh, yeah.
It's $7.
No way.
And it's all you could eat. Yeah. It's pretty good. I think I'm going to go after if you guys.
That's actually a good point. I don't have any money. I mean, I don't have any food in my house. I don't have any money.
Yeah, I mean, full turkey, stuffing, mashed potatoes.
Yeah, they go all out. They go in.
Seriously?
Yeah, the one time. I mean, I think Dominican's pretty lucky. They have a pretty good cafeteria, but like any other campus cafeteria, it sucks from time to time. Tonight, they go hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never actually even been in the cafeteria.
Oh, well, you're going to learn today.
Hey, hey, hey.
Wait, are you guys technically on like a finals week or something like that?
No,
or
is it just
next week, I think.
Oh. No, 2 weeks from now.
2 weeks from now. Yeah, I don't know. I'm feeling it. I just finished my rough draft of my thesis this morning. I'm like, bam, I sent it in for edits. It took me forever.
Nice. Are you almost done with your senior project or not even
of
close?
Not. Not even close. Not even close. I actually decided to take it in one semester, which was a bad idea, and I'm gonna have to take an incomplete for it because I can't finish the other half.
Ooh, that's
What's your thesis?
I want to develop an app that kind of is the new place to go for like when you wanna do things outdoors. I think there's like a huge disparity between back to economics and societal problems. There's a huge gap between the people like in urban and inner city districts that are like go on living their life, don't really ever go camping or get out much, and then people like that live in the Sierras or Marin that are so environmentally friendly and just like shoving these issues and problems down people's throats. And it's like it's not even relevant to these people that have never even been outside.
Yeah.
So I think there needs to be a common ground where you just need to introduce nature back into people's lives and make it cool again and make it so it's fun and you could find something around your corner and build up some community pride. And so that's what I'm working on.
Yeah,
it's called Scenic.
I'm with it. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Have you heard, do you guys watch TED Talks?
I love TED.
I've never seen it, but I know what you're talking about.
I have the app on my phone, and I literally like fall asleep.
Wait,
to
there's an app?
Yes.
And you
girl,
can watch like everything. You can just watch broadcasts.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Because they were previously recorded.
Yes, okay. Yes. Yeah. And so I don't know if you saw it, but it's this guy, and I think he called it like inner city cultivating or something like that.
Yeah.
And it was like, so you know how on sidewalks there's like, you know, little sections of grass that are whatever. And his thing was to turn those little sections into like a vegetable garden.
Yeah.
Or
they're called green spaces.
Green spaces. Yes. Mm-hmm. Green spaces. And I guess how he kind of found that it was something for the community to rally around. Mm-hmm. And it was just sort of like, you know, increasing community, you know, whatever. He said it was a very, very positive thing for.
Yeah.
For like an inner city community, which I feel like kind of goes along with your app idea, right?
Because
it's all about getting back to nature
and like, I mean, right now, I mean, because we grew up in this era where like everybody is in an urban place, you know,
right.
Like even though we're in Marin County, it's still suburban to San Francisco and we're getting further and further away from like what is really there, and it's kind of like two realities when it should be one.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like there's this whole social construction where like it's a different place and it's not, it's all one. And you could thank my colloquium class for that with two amazing professors that are like so hippie and so like, let's love earth.
Yeah.
that's where I got it from.
That's fine.
So I think it's important because like for me that's where I found my happiness. Like what I don't know if I said this before, but I lived in New York for 8 months, eight months. And I like fell in love with Brooklyn, and I worked in Midtown, and it was like my life. And I had to leave it to come back to school. And I was like, what the hell am I going to do back in California? Like, my life is over there. But that was the one thing that I, like, really held on to was the fresh air that's here.
Yeah.
Like, you smell the subway and, like, grease and grime when you're out there. And here, yeah, it's just, like, it's clean. And I think more people need to, like, appreciate that and, like, take a second to smell the fresh air.
Yeah.
Right.
So how do you do that if you don't have an experience and that's what the app's for? Right. So you could find stuff to do.
Nice.
Yeah. That's cool.
But yeah, we're on a lazy weekend, I think. Lazy week.
Yeah.
Because of Thanksgiving and...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm so screwed with... I have like 3 or 4 papers due. You know, fun things. I'm going to be doing them on the plane ride home.
Oh, nice. Because you're going back
home. Oh, well, no, I'm not going back home today. I'm going to Mexico next week. Well, no, I should...
Mexico or New Mexico?
Mexico, the country.
Oh, yeah, because you're going on vacation.
Yeah.
What?
You jerk. When I should be doing finals, but my teachers are awesome and they're letting me go.
Any international shows for you, Matt?
No, we actually haven't gone international yet. We've done Canada.
Nice.
Which
nice.
Is cool.
That is definitely international.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, I guess, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Don't count yourself out. That's awesome.
But I guess we haven't done overseas stuff, but that's what we're kind of looking forward to in a big way. I think it'd be awesome. But we may be in Canada next or this coming winter. So
sweet.
That would be a possibility.
Have you ever done South by Southwest?
Yes.
You did?
Yeah. We did it in 2010.
Nice.
It was cool. It was really, really cool. I mean, it's crazy because it's like literally it's like 1,400 bands like bombard the small city of Austin for, you know, like a week.
Yeah.
So it's insane. But it's, you know, there's just so much energy. It's crazy.
Yeah, I went to it 1 year, and I could only stay for, like, 3 days. But everywhere we went, it was just, like, every place was just insane.
Yeah, well, and I remember, like, walking around, like, we went into this bar, and we were waiting to perform, and, like, Dave Grohl was just, like, sitting, eating a sandwich. And
yes!
Like, oh, okay. Like, that's cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and, like...
I heard Austin's really, like, coming up.
It's very cool. Yeah, I mean, I haven't been to the city outside of South by Southwest, so I don't really know what it's like, you know.
It's cool.
I watched Real World Austin.
Yes.
So there's something.
There you go.
Seemed very
nice. I've experienced.
Yeah. But, no, yeah, I heard really, really good things about the city, too.
No, Austin's, like, one of the coolest cities ever. They have this, like, there's this lake or river that you can go in and just, like, float down the river, and, like, it's just cool. Like, the city's just freaking cool.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Well, that's one to add to the list.
Yeah.
Are you going to go?
Eventually, yeah.
South by Southwest is sick.
Yeah.
It's like a week-long just crap
just
show.
Party. Yeah. I think party. Coachella's first.
Coachella.
Then
okay.
South by Southwest, and then I want to go to Lollapalooza.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have to hit that one up once in the line.
Are you interested in Burning Man?
You know what? I would try anything once.
Yeah. So I feel the same way.
I think we should.
Yeah, I would do it once, but I don't think I would want an RV.
Yeah.
I like for a week in the desert of Las Vegas and like I don't know. I just
Vegas is so hot.
It's
my
so
aunt
hot
lives out there and I can't even like be outside without
it's,
feeling
yeah, it's
melt.
So uncomfortable. Like I just don't want to be like and then being around people that are like probably on so many different drugs. I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like
yeah. No, I feel like if you go you have to be super open.
Yes.
To the experience.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you have to be, you know, I feel like you have to be willing to
totally
you know, immerse yourself.
And I'm, I don't know, sometimes I'm not totally down.
We're old now. Graduating.
Sometimes I feel like I'm just like, I feel like I'm 35 years old. Like, no, I'm good. I'm just going to go to sleep. You're good. Thanks. You can have fun and I'll just not.
I'll just stay here. Call me when you need a ride.
Yeah. Probably not because I'm too, I'll be I don't want to do that. No, I'm just kidding. I'll always give a ride to somebody.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. So I think that's going to do it for my show today and with guest host DJ Raya.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
No, yeah. Thank you for coming on. And thank you, Matt, for coming on.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Do you want to plug your radio, your station again?
Yes. Okay. So the single Evidence out on iTunes right now. The band is called 2AM Club. You can check us out on Facebook, Facebook.com/2AM Club. SoundCloud.com/2AM Club, Twitter @2AM Club. Instagram at 2 a.m. Club.
Oh my God. I'm definitely following guys on Instagram.
You guys are all over.
It's all out there. Yeah.
No, wait, quick question. Uh-huh. When you have who manages all that? Do you have somebody who's managing your social media?
So actually, one of our singers, Tyler, does a lot of the. He runs our Twitter and our Instagram.
Okay.
And then individually, we also have our own Twitters and Instagrams that you can easily find. Also,
I've always wondered that about different bands, like if they actually do
social
it or
media.
Tyler's kind of like our social media guru. He's great at all that stuff. So, all right, yeah.
Cool. Well, we're gonna go off with another song. It's the first song on the. Which one is that?
Okay, so this song is called Taxi.
Cool. And you're listening. This is I'm sorry. This is my last show. Hey.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's my last show.
Yeah, it's thank you guys for listening. I appreciate anybody that listened to me and took in my little news blurbs and everything. I hope you learned a little bit. And hopefully I'll be able to do this again. This is Harley D, and I am Harley D signing off. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving and holidays, and good luck in the future. Bye bye.
With me, grab your glass. We stepping out through the night to the Ave. Keep the pressure on, sip what you have, 'cause the memories stay, but the liquor won't last. We all trying to find a way. They used to not give us the time of day. Now we out here living.